section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
New Hall of Fame nominee, Raw was there, and we talked TakeOver. All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Off the Mark, we are the podcast that provides most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron, and we have Doug Hahn and Roger Cave to join us on this special edition of Off the Mark. So let's talk about the new Hall of Fame nominee, Aaron. Who is it?
It's Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg.
Oh.
He's going to the Hall of Fame for some reason.
It's a Snoop Dogg?
Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg.
Doug, what do you think about this nomination?
I think it's full shizzle, my nizzle.
So Snoop Doggy Dogg is going to be in the Hall of Fame, a longtime WWE fan, and he's been at a couple WrestleManias. He's
Isn't
in it.
He also Sasha's like,
oh, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, he's in it. How many, Snoop Dogg references can we make today to Roger?
Oh, I definitely think we can get over under 24.
24. Okay.
Yeah. They will be high. I promise you.
Does anyone
you saw the wheels turning. Yeah, the wheels are turning there.
Oh my gosh. I actually had to mute that. I was laughing so hard. Yeah, so he is definitely in there. Of course, he's going to join Donald Trump, I think, is one of them. I can't remember the rest of them. But yeah, so there's people in the Celebrity Hall of Fame of this. So anyone care that he's there? Anyone? Doug, no?
No.
Nope, I guess no one cares. All right, so let's just leave that. Let's talk about WWE programming. So we have, Doug, what were your thoughts on the setup for WrestleMania 32 on Raw?
It's your typical go-home show. I mean, I will say that I was actually very, very excited for the very, very start with Undertaker and Shane. And them going at it was just I worry now, because if you're going to give that one, Shane did a elbow drop from the top to the announcer's table, very much like CM Punk did to Undertaker. If you're going to do that on the take home show, I'm very pumped now to see what they're going to actually do at WrestleMania.
I'm telling you right now, it's going to be something off Hell in the Cell. It's going to be something huge. That we're going to be like, oh my gosh, we're going to be like, is he okay? Is he, you know, like, is he all right? I think is what's going to happen here. But I'm really, really looking forward to this. So, Aaron, what did you guys think about this?
The setup, I think that they did an okay job. And I can't really think of any good Raw, like, go home show, to be quite honest. I think maybe last year's was pretty decent, but.
4:15.
Was it?
Yeah, which tells you how far I had to go.
Yeah, I mean, like, I can't think of any really off the top of my head, like any go home shows that were like the absolute best. Like, oh my god, I can't wait to see the pay per view now. I can't wait to see what happens. It's more like, all right, you know, like I go through the motions. I can't wait to see this. But there wasn't anything I think that stood out to me.
It was the beer bath. That's why that episode's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, that was the goal.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, Raw was bleh. You know, if you were already watching WrestleMania, you were going to watch it anyway. I don't think this show advanced anything besides telling us AJ versus Jericho. Other than that, you know, whatever. Forgettable now, episode.
Did you think that it was smart to have the matches announced the, you know, last week opposed to like tonight
or even this week? Really? Cause I mean, Y2, you know, Jay and AJ were really announced this week. There was the challenge that was put out there, but Doug, what do you think of that? Do you like the idea of them having the matches announced the week prior or 2 weeks prior, or do you want to know like 6 weeks in advance?
I don't know about 6 weeks in advance, but I mean, if you're trying to sell tickets and everything and trying to get that final push for the sellout, if they're not sold out already, you gotta do something. Like, it's gotta be at least a couple weeks before. I don't think you're going to find that one fan that goes, oh, that take home show was awesome. I'm going to go to WrestleMania now. I mean, the people that are going to go to WrestleMania are the ones that bought it day one. And then, or the people that just found out when they got closer or when they started seeing where the main event was going to go. I'd rather see at least a couple weeks build up for every match going into WrestleMania. They should have already established everything. I would say 3 weeks at the minimum, and then the last 3 weeks are your definitive setup to WrestleMania.
You know, that is a good question, Aaron. Do you think that they should have actually had like at least four of the big matches lined up, like basically 6 weeks out, and then have like the rest of the card kind of like start, and then you have the one final match like the, on the go home show? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, you know, I actually, you know, the Usos and the Dudleys, I think it should be a tables match, and like I said, I don't think it was announced as that. But the fact that we knew that they were wrestling, I'm okay with. And then maybe you like up the ante, oh, it's going to be a tables match, and you find out the week before, I'm cool with. For the most part, I mean, they pretty much had the core matches, but I don't like the idea of them announcing like a main match the week before, like AJ and Y2J. That should have been a 3 weeks out sort of thing. You know, that's what I feel, or even last week I would have further, you know, yeah, or even further out, you know, but it's obviously their fourth match. And we had talked about that, of course, on the WrestleMania special, which you probably heard on Tuesday. But like that match in particular is one that, yeah, you have a little bit more of a build up to it. And you can do the Divas match, you know, the tag team Divas match. You can announce that the week of, because you don't need build up for that crap, you know, or don't announce it at all. Yeah. I don't know. I don't really care for having them announce matches the week before. I think that for all pay-per-views, you know, I think that those should be announced, like, because if you want me to buy a ticket, not only to go see it, but even to fly there, you know, there's Money in the Bank is in Vegas in June. I kind of want to go see that because it's Money in the Bank. But at the same time, if the card isn't good, I don't know if I want to go. And I may not know until the week of. And so that can influence it.
Yeah,
to me, completely WrestleMania agree. Should be getting built up at the Royal Rumble. Like, that is where you should have most of your big matches set. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be that night. It can be the night after, like with Shane Taker, I think, is that's when he came back. AJ Jericho is supposed to be a top tier match, and we just find out a week before. At this point, you already know if you're going to WrestleMania. So why are you waiting so long to announce a premier match? This is where Usos versus Dudleys could have been announced. The Divas match that no one cares about could have been announced. The Battle Royal that you already knew but didn't really care about. Like, those are throwaway matches. Big time matches should be built 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks out. I don't like this. You know, this seems haphazard booking to me. This is WrestleMania. This is your Super Bowl. Book it as such. It should be important.
Yeah, and speaking of, I think what's going to be the Super Bowl is NXT TakeOver. And one thing we got to talk about, Austin Aries is going to be there. He's going to take on Baron Corbin. Roger, what do you think about this?
For sports fans out there, in the mid-90s, the NFC Championship was considered the real Super Bowl, even though it happened before the Super Bowl because the NFC was dominating the AFC. I think NXT is going to be our NFC Championship. This is going to be the show that is going to probably blow away WrestleMania. I mean, this card is stacked. I'm looking at it right now. There's 4 or 5 matches. And I'm going, wow, all of these have the potential to be 4 to 5 star matches. Balor Joe, Bayley Suka, Sammy and Nakamura, even the Revival and American Idol, two teams I like. And then, of course, Austin Aries is Austin Aries. And this card's going to be amazing. And it's 6 matches in, what, 2 hours? That's a lot of time for all of these matches to really go. Like, this could be really, really good.
And it's not just that. It's actually probably we're going to probably be there till midnight. The way it looks, so they're going to tape a show for next week's show there. So we're going to see matches after the main event. So we're going to be like, oh my gosh, at a high, and I just can't wait to see what they do with this.
So are we all in agreement that Aries is going to win here?
Yes.
Yeah. I think Baron Corbin's going to win. I know
you are out of your freaking mind.
I have all these weird ideas. So let's just go to the Revival versus American Alpha. I'm sorry, but here I just have Alpha winning. What were your thoughts on that, Doug?
Yes, Alpha is going to be. I think this is the perfect time to set them up. They're huge right now. They're way over. And you have a pretty good setup team to them. They've built up the Revival with wins over Cass and
Enzo.
Enzo, yeah. Sorry, I don't know why I blanked there, but Enzo and Cass. So they have establishment wins, but this, I think, is the time to give it to American Alpha. They're way over. They're a great tag team, and I think giving them the titles is the right time now.
Aaron, do you think of
Team Angle? Totally agree with Doug.
Do you think of Team totally Angle when you see this, Aaron?
What now?
Do you think about Team Angle when you see these two guys?
Of course, yeah. All but right. No, I'd just be echoing Doug's thoughts, so yeah, American
Alpha.
I actually think the Revival retains.
Really?
And I like Alpha a lot, and I think they're hot, but I think you can string this chase out a little bit longer. I think Alpha and Enzo and Cass can have a little mini feud for the number one contendership, and then one of them can be the one to finally finish it. But I think Alpha loses here in a good match, in a very good match. But I think Revival wins. Probably, you know, some cheating.
Next, we have Apollo Crews versus Elias Samson. Aaron, who do you got on this?
I got Crews here. You know, Elias is definitely a fun talent, but I just don't see him pinning Apollo Crews, you know, like, and I also see Crews's stock rising a lot. And I think that this is just, I don't want to say a throwaway match, but kind of like a small stepping stone for him, because he's going to get interjected into the world title picture. And so I don't see him losing here. I see him getting a pretty easy win.
I think Elias Samson's character is a little bit in trouble. I think the crowd's already turning on him. As I was saying to Aaron earlier, the crowd started to chant "Drift Away" at him, mocking his drifter gimmick. He's not over. Like, you know, he hasn't really done anything in the ring that's been impressive. I've seen a few of his matches, and I always fast forward. I'm like, this is boring. He's very generic heel. I think he even carries a guitar, but he doesn't even smash it Jeff Jarrett style, so I don't even know what the point of that guitar is.
He's a drifter.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Apollo Crews had a great match with Finn Balor one-on-one. You know, he is a guy whose stock is rising. He's probably the next in line to challenge Joe. I think Apollo Crews wins this in under 10 minutes. Samson might get repackaged, to be honest. I think his character's in trouble.
All right, Doug, what do you think?
I agree wholeheartedly with that. I'm very excited to see Apollo Crews because, I mean, the guy is just – that. What an athletic ability he has. And God, no, I can't even think. Even the personality. I love his smile. Just when, I mean, he beats you up and smiles at it. So it's
he has a $1 million smile. Yeah, he really does.
It's wonderful. I cannot wait just to see him go out and crush somebody.
He was a hot shot at the main event, but that's the only thing that's always going to knock him.
He is what McMahon looks for, other than the height. You know, I mean, he's your Ezekiel Jackson. Your Mr.
With Hughes, personality.
You're, you know, all the typical black, you know, muscle guys. But this one has charisma and talent. And so, like, you know, UWA Nation, Apollo Crews is going to do a fantastic job.
And he can talk on the mic, which I think is the biggest thing. He can actually talk.
Yeah, I mean, his voice is a little weird. And it kind of has a Bobby Lashley cadence to me.
Yeah.
Like, it's not really deep and intimidating, but you can get around that. I mean, Brock doesn't have the most intimidating sounding voice. He just looks like someone can kill you.
I'd say Lashley's probably the only exception to the other people I just mentioned, you know, because I actually liked Lashley, and it's unfortunate that he didn't do more in WWE. But I would say that Apollo Crews is probably similar in some instances to him. But I could see Apollo Crews. I could see him having the WWE title at some point in time.
His height is his biggest thing to overcome. Yeah. He's short. He's like 5'10".
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I could be wrong, but I think he's not tall.
Yeah, I don't
build that 6'6", though.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course. But now the next one is Sami Zayn takes on Nakamura. What do you got on this one, Aaron?
This is the match I really, really can't wait to see. Nakamura's going to win this. But the idea of seeing his entrance live is going to be so, like, just awe-inspiring. And I really cannot wait to see that. I really can't. I hope that there's streamers there, honestly. I really hope that people throw streamers. Like, I think that'd be cool. But Nakamura's going to win this pretty easily. But this is going to be such a good match. Such a good match. And Sami Zayn is going to probably walk out of here with a black eye. Like, he probably would. So, or like beat up chest, something.
Or both.
Yeah, or both. So, cannot wait to see this match.
All right. Roger, what are your thoughts on this one?
Oh, this match is going to be amazing. Like, this is the match this is my second most anticipated match, including WrestleMania. Like, this match is going to be amazing. Nakamura is going to win. There's no question about that in my mind. But, man, they are going to tear the house down. Like, this is a match. This will probably be the third match of the card, and it is going to get us going absolutely crazy. Like, we'll be chanting, "This is awesome." I almost guarantee it.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. Doug, what do you think about this one?
I've been looking forward to this ever since they announced that he was coming to NXT or even WWE in general. I cannot wait. I've seen some of his matches over on New Japan Wrestling have just been phenomenal. So seeing him against Sami Zayn, I think, is going to be like Roger said, it's going to be one of the best matches the whole weekend. So this is what makes me very, very excited for the WrestleMania experience.
Yeah, I completely agree. And of course, Nakamura will win. It's going to be a great match. I just can't wait to see it. Bayley versus, gosh, I can never say her name right, Aaron.
Asuka.
Thank you, Asuka.
It looks like Asuka.
That's what I was about to say. But Doug, who do you think's going to win this one?
I think you keep the title on Bayley for right now. I only say that just because I think there's going to be some kind of outside interference that stops this match, just because you have two big faces going at it right now. I think it's going to be a wonderful match, but I can see it getting interrupted somehow, and you're going to see a continuing feud.
And Aaron, what are your thoughts?
I could see Asuka winning this. You know, this is the only match that Bayley's been in that you're like, oh man, like she could actually lose it this time. The only small issue I'm having though is, what if the crowd then kind of turns on Asuka because they love Bayley so much? Mm-hmm. And if you had a like triple threat match, or you had like Eva Marie in there, let's say, where Asuka pinned Eva, in which case you're not nearly as mad because, you know, Asuka didn't get a, I'm throwing out like the person that I actually hate the most. I apologize. I'm sorry.
Eva Marie. Okay.
I know. I'm sorry.
I threw up a little bit.
Emma. How about Emma? We're going to have Emma in this match. Then it would be okay. So, you know, putting a gun to my head, I'm saying Bayley, but it's like 60-40 is what I'm thinking. But yeah, like, I don't know. This is a tough one, but I think I'd pick Bayley.
I have Asuka, but I'm not like, I'm about 55-45. And I say this because I'm a little terrified, and I think I know where this is going. I think Bayley will move up to the main roster. It'll be a four horsewomen. And Asuka's been feuding with Eva Marie and Nia Jax for the last 3 months, so of course they'll find some stupid way to get Eva Marie to pin Asuka for the title, and then we're all going to be disgusted. I know it's awful to say, but that's the way I see this going, so I think this is the time that you can get the title off of Bayley. You know, you'll say goodbye, she'll make her move to the main roster, and then, you know, hopefully Asuka can knock Eva Marie out legitimately, and so they can't do the title change. I got Asuka winning, but I'm not confident about it. It's 55-45.
I actually, that's my same thing. I think Asuka will win. So let's talk about Finn versus Joe then, Roger. Who do you think is going to win this?
Oh, I think this is no question Samoa Joe wins this. This is a rematch from their match over at TakeOver London, I think it was. And I think it's Finn Balor has been champion now about 9 months, I think, since mm-hmm. Beast in the East back in June or July. Mm-hmm. It's time. It's time for him to, you know, move on to the main roster. He's obviously insanely over. He's got a ready-made gimmick. Samoa Joe is probably your next big heel to come up from NXT, so he needs a dominant run with the championship. You know, this will be a great match. I think they get 25 minutes. I think Joe chokes out Balor cleanly, you know, after like a missed coup de grace or maybe a Bloody Sunday counter or something like that. I think Joe wins. I think he wins clean. I think we say goodbye to Baylor, and I think Joe begins his run, and he should dominate NXT for probably a full year.
Yeah, I agree. I got Joe in this one, you know, and based on what Roger said, I mean, totally echo his thoughts. I think that Finn comes up. I don't know if, you know, based on the WrestleMania special, what you had said, Andy, but I do think that Finn is going to come up sooner rather than later.
All right. And I will say, I believe Samoa Joe will be your next NXT champion. Doug,
would Joe be the first heel champion?
Kevin Owens and Bo Dallas. Yeah.
Bo was being cheered at that point, wasn't he?
Well, then Big E Langston would have been the heel.
No. Oh, yeah, Big E was a face, though. Big E was the face when he was the champion because he had the five gimmick. Like, he needed the five.
Bo Dallas is always a heel.
Yeah, okay. He definitely was a heel at the end. I know that much. I don't know
against Neville. Before then, I don't think he was.
He won via I saw the ending of his match. He won by an exposed turnbuckle, which is usually not a face move.
No.
So I think he was already the heel.
Okay. I think because I've also seen the rumor mill too that WWE is very high on Joe right now and want to move him up to the main roster. So I think whoever loses, you're going to see make an appearance at WrestleMania or do something, and or the Raw after WrestleMania make a big impact. But I can see I think it's time to move Finn up, so I'm going to say Joe wins.
All right, I think we're all in agreement on that one. So let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster, or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands on the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code off the mark, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what are you going to lose? Check out hostgator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out our Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to say big on items from www.shop.com. So, Aaron, this is your favorite thing to talk about, and what is it?
So we only have a couple of main episodes left. And I've always wanted to talk about this. This was kind of in the vault. Does the belt make the man, or does the man make the belt? And so, Andy, what are your thoughts? Is there a particular wrestler who has held the belt that made it that much better? Or is there a wrestler that you didn't really think a whole lot of until he got the belt? Because that belt was held in such high prestige that all of a sudden he jumped up in your mind to be a, you know, a world champion at that point.
That's easy. Seth Rollins. I did not think Seth Rollins should be the champion. I never thought that. And then he got it. So I think that Seth Rollins actually made the belt better, and it also made him better as well. I think he became basically a better wrestler. I never expected that. Then I was like, oh, I don't like him. I don't like him. And then all of a sudden I started liking him, and then he gets hurt. And that was the saddest part, because this should be Seth Rollins WrestleMania, and it's not. And that's what I'm not happy about. But I think that in this case, the Rollins made the belt, and it also made him. He made him the man as well. I think it's a both. No matter how I look at it, he made the belt better. As much as I didn't like him and I used to bash him, but then I was like, you know what? I liked him more because of that. And then same thing, that the belt made him. And that's my thought on that.
Well, Roger, what about you? Is there anyone in particular that held the belt that you were like, he actually was made better because of the belt, or vice versa?
No, I am on the opposite. I believe the belt is made by the man, not vice versa. And to go to Andy's point, it's not that Seth Rollins, in my opinion, elevated the belt. It's that the belt was elevated once Seth Rollins got it because of Brock Lesnar. He, to me, is the example of, he made that belt special. He made the belt amazing. He made it must-see TV. Then look at someone like Sheamus. Do I care when he's champion? Do I care about his title defenses? Nope. It's just an average, ordinary championship. But when Brock Lesnar or John Cena or Triple H has that title, it feels like a main event WrestleMania championship-type title. If you give it to a Sheamus, or even, I mean, I like Orton, but he doesn't feel like a main eventer most of the time. He doesn't really bring the belt up. So I think it's the man who makes the belt. There are some exceptions where the championship can be strong enough and you can have someone lower with it, like a Rey Mysterio, for example, but it has to be built up by other people previously before that can happen. So I think it's the belt itself has to be made by the man.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. And but there is one instance in particular for me where the belt made the man, because like you said, there's a couple of instances where that could happen. But for me was Edge. When Edge won the title, I never really thought of Edge as a main eventer. He was always kind of mid to upper mid to me. Once he won that title, though, I was like,
who did he beat?
John Cena, though. He did. And trust me, I know that. But that's an instance where that. But yeah, no, I would say that when Ric Flair held the title, you know, that was Ric Flair's title. That was Harley Race, you know, that was Sting. That was Hulk Hogan. You know, that was, Ultimate Warrior, Savage, that sort of thing. So I think that there's instances where the man can make the belt. But there are some instances where the belt can help make the man. Now, let's say Zack Ryder wins the world title. It doesn't go in the trash, but it's...
Well, and so I'll say this. It depends, because I think to me it's not only the man, it's how you win. Mm-hmm. If he was built up over a year and then he cleanly pinned to Seth Rollins, or he pinned the Unthinkable and beat Brock Lesnar, we would believe him as champion. The problem oftentimes that, like, and this is why I don't always like Money in the Bank, Miz had no business being champion. Sheamus had no business being champion. Like, there are too many guys who end up winning the title who weren't really built. Alberto Del Rio had no business being champion. So when you have guys like that who are built up and kind of just win it out of nowhere, it devalues the title as opposed to bringing it up, because they didn't look like a champion in our eyes, so they shouldn't be champion.
And Doug, what about you?
I kind of agree with Roger in the fact that if I look more at the negatives, the fact that you have Miz held the title. I mean, Miz was your main event at a WrestleMania, and he won. Is that really the belt making him better, or is that It's not. It's actually, I think it devalues the belt. And it's not just even the world heavyweight belt. If you look at it, the fact that they gave John Cena the U.S. title, how much of us actually started caring about the U.S. title again when John Cena held it last year? I thought that was one of my favorite parts of Raw every week was the open challenge. And then you gave Daniel Bryan the Intercontinental title. You brought prestige back to the title. As much as I still even like Cody Rhodes, I thought when he held the title, though, it downgraded. So there are both instances for both where the man makes the belt and the belt makes the person, I think. But I really believe that it's more the man behind the belt. I think Kevin Owens is great, whether he has a belt or not. So it's really more about the feud than the actual title, I think.
To bring up one, remember how strong the World Heavyweight Championship was built up at one point in time? There was a while where it was like Triple H and He Who Shall Not Be Named, Shawn, Undertaker, you know, big name guys. The moment they gave it to Jack Swagger, that title never recovered. We never looked at that title again. And it's true. Mm-hmm. After that, that was always the second tier title. It never main evented WrestleMania again. It was never looked at as a main event even championship. It was basically an IC title. Yeah, even when they gave it back to John Cena, it was always the second championship. We just never again said, oh, this title doesn't matter. I guess there's certain people who maybe can elevate, like Edge. Obviously, I looked at him as more of a champion because of his gimmick and him winning the title all the time. But you got to be credible or you're just going to kill the belt.
Mm.
That was a good topic, Aaron. I got to say, it's a good one. Thing about it. And also I do believe in this case, you know, you brought up Kevin Owens and he's one of the few guys that it doesn't matter. He has a belt. Great. If he doesn't, great. He doesn't really need one. Unlike John Cena, who kind of needs one. So
I don't think Cena needs a belt at this point in his career, but he did for a very long time.
Mm. Yeah. But at least we could respect because he's actually improved his in-ring style. Unlike Roman Reigns, who has not changed it, but
I was going to say, at least John Cena also has ring presence.
Yes.
He has that ability to talk on the mic. He has a charisma about him where Roman Reigns is, oh, you're a stupid head.
I just want to point out in 10 years at WrestleMania 30 or 42, when Andy's talking about how we're going to miss Roman Reigns and how he's really improved his ring presence, I just want to point out that I called it. That somehow, some way, the next big thing that we all hate is there, and Roman is the established veteran, and we're gonna be like, you know, say what you want about Roman, but at least he had a good Superman punch. Oh, 10 years ago.
Oh man! So we gotta end on that note. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AllTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and ending the podcast, and I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Roger Cave and Doug Hahn and Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes, and until next time, we'll see you in the ring.